You're listening to Podcast on Fire. It's Asian cinema in a podcast with your hosts, the magnificent trio of Stu, Ken, and Mike.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire, the Christmas special. It hasn't got a number. Joining us tonight are Ken.
Hello.
Stuart.
Hello.
And special Christmas guest, Santa. It's Jim.
Hey.
Who are you? Mike. I'm Amy. Who are you?
I'm Mike. Yeah. Well, tonight I'm not just Mike, but due to the fact that after our last movies watched, we're having a quiz, I have a new name. Now, I was thinking about Quizinator, or I might have just simply gone with Quiz, but I'm actually going to go with Lord Quizmaster tonight, and you are my quiz slaves.
Sweet.
So, yeah, just remember who the boss is around here tonight.
Oh, okay.
All right then, so let's not dilly-dally around. Let's get straight into some last movies watched. And to seeing as he's not very well, let's go with Ken first.
Thanks. We'll get the worst review out of the way first, therefore.
Well, you don't have mine yet.
Sorry?
On you go, Ken.
Okay. Don't make fun of me just because I can't understand.
I would rather myself, man.
Alrighty. Who doesn't like Bruce Bruceploitation?
Bruce, maybe?
Yeah, I guess Bruce Lee wouldn't have liked
that. He'd be quite pissed off.
Yeah, and he watching the Kung Fu Fever, he would have very, 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 very many reasons to be pissed off. But God, is it fun. And it's hard to stay mad at. So, this stars Dragon Lee, a Korean martial artist. Was in a few movies. He's credited here as Bruce Ree, R-H-E-E. When this movie starts, The Kung Fu Fever, there's a hilarious contradiction that occurs right up front when there's a text that says, you know, that familiar text that none of these events are based on real persons or real incidents, which is all fine. But the thing is, the movie depicts the death of Bruce Lee, which is the truth. He died. And he's a character in this for a few moments before he dies. And the only respectful thing that these filmmakers do is that they never put forth a theory as to how he died. It's kind of a mystery, and today it's less of a mystery. But back then, I think the theories were being flung here and there and flung about. So, but they never claim what killed him. He just died. Therefore, cut to footage from Bruce Lee's funeral.
Nice.
Which is the respectful thing to do after having gained respect. I mean, hilarious contradictions up front.
If you've ever watched the English version of The Office, yes. One of the characters on there points out that Bruce didn't die. He faked his death so he could go undercover for the CIA and infiltrate the Triad Society.
Yes. And the answer to that, Tim has a very good answer to that. Yeah, put the world's most famous movie star undercover as a CIA agent. Clever. That's a brilliant scene.
There is a slight flaw.
Yeah, slight flaw, yeah. But the Kung Fu Fever is very fun. The minute plot they have, the structure around the death of Bruce Lee is that after he dies, there are a lot of groups, Chinese groups, Japanese groups, American groups, after the Book of Finger Techniques, which sounds very gay, but it's a martial arts technique that Bruce developed and wrote down. And now that he died, the thugs and the stupid henchmen are after the Book of Finger Techniques, and they turn to one of Bruce's students, Ricky Chan, played by Dragon Lee. And among the henchmen that they send after him and his friends are these very dumb cartoony ones, one that uses the Iron Head technique, and flown in from the US of A, Ron, played by Ron Van Cleef, which is this guy. He was in a few Hong Kong movies. He was in a movie called Black Dragon and was put into blaxploitation like movies because at that time I think Jim Kelly's popularity was heightened through Enter the Dragon, so they tried to find other blaxploitation stars, blaxploitation martial arts stars. So Ron Van Cleef was one of those. And the funny thing is, when talking about why there's a lot of amusement packaged with the Kung Fu Fever, is that one of the group of thugs leads a cabaret troupe. Aside from wanting that manual of martial arts, he also leads a cabaret troupe. Which is amusing to me, anyway. As with the best Bruce Bloitation movies, it's in the goofy details that the goofy details makes it memorable. But you have to be a certain viewer, I guess, to appreciate this. One has to start discussing Ricky Chan, the student of Bruce Lee, and think about apparently what it takes to be a student of Bruce Lee's is act just like him. And I mean just like him. And you can imagine what that involves, you know, when you go into fighting mode. You have to be in the Game of Death track suit for no apparent reason. You have to wear the glasses, stereotypical glasses, and the ghastly shirts that Bruce Lee wore, not in movies, but when you saw him behind the scenes and stuff like that. And oh boy, Dragon Lee he took it seriously, impersonating Bruce Lee. And to be honest, it really looks more retarded than sincerely mimicking his hero, because he you know, there's overacting and then there's Dragon Lee, which is incredibly fun, and at the same time it's oddly sincere when you think about it. He loves him so much, he's gonna act like him, you know, to the 200% degree in a way. And it's good fun. There's no good action in the film, actually. He has moves, he's in good shape and what have you, but Dragon Lee is not the best on-screen fighter in these movies. It's goofy dubbing galore and shameless behavior, as discussed earlier with the footage from the funeral. But again, it's hard to stay mad at this film because it has a goofiness about it. And a minor trivia note to end this review: the director, a Korean director called Kim Si-hyun, he was the director of several Dragon Lee movies in South Korea, including what became retitled to Secret Ninja Roaring Tiger, which is available as a bargain bin DVD pretty much everywhere. And that was a movie IFD acquired and retitled to that. So hence, Godfrey Ho has got the directorial credit ever since then. But they changed, you know, the credits of those South Korean movies as well. But Secret Ninja Roaring Tiger probably is the Dragon Lee movie people have seen the most, I guess, and this director, that's his most viewed movie. And by the way, Dragon Lee is of course in the clones of Bruce Lee as well, because they gathered a whole lot of them there. And he's an example of how the cloning went really wrong, because he doesn't look like Bruce Lee very much, you know. But yeah, it's good fun. I do like Bruce Bloitation, so. It's memorable. It's memorable.
Well, big question is, how does it compare to Dragon Lives Again?
It's not in the same league. Dragon Lives Again is way, way much better. Because it has goofy details done that are way much funnier and way more creative. But Kung Fu Fever has enough of them. But you have to kind of be a hardcore Bruce Bloitation fan, I would have to say. It's not Dragon Lives Again has this great concept, as we've discussed, you know, Bruce Lee in the afterworld, anything goes. And they capitalize on that, the filmmakers of that movie. Big time.
Is that you done then, Kenneth?
I am.
Superb. All right then, next up, how about Jim?
Well, my last movie was Memories of Natsuko, which was released by Third Window Films.
Did you watch the DVD or did you see it on Film 4 or something like that? It's been shown on telly in the UK.
I've seen it twice. First time I saw it at the cinema, and this time I watched it on DVD.
Huh.
And it is, to put it politely, an emotional kick in the bollocks.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but it does actually.
What about if you don't possess a pair of bollocks?
Well, then...
It's an emotional kick anyway.
If you don't possess a pair of bollocks, then you're just going to end up hating men after watching it.
Smack on the boobs or something.
No, I was going to say a punch to the tits, aye.
Yeah, it's either way, it's very painful, and it's not the type of thing you watch with a girl if you want a romantic night in. Of course, they'll just hate you by the end of it. But it's a good film, though. It's basically a tragic fairy tale about this girl who life just gets worse and worse and worse no matter how hard she tries. And every man she meets treats her like absolute shit. And every time things get better, they find a way to get worse.
Yay!
And one thing I didn't know about him is that it is probably very, very colourful. It's like the director discovered colour. Like he invented all these new colours, he just had to show them off all the time.
Is it too much then? Is it overdone, therefore?
Oh no, it's not overdone, it's just very colourful, kind of like a cartoon sometimes would be, but you just can't help but notice it. Basically they try to make it a fairy tale. In the use of the colours basically to give it that fairy tale feel, although the context of the film is rather much darker overall.
I would happily take on a film like that, because I think there's a challenge, a filmmaker challenge to make a depressing movie valid and good, because it can come off as depressing for the sake of it, you know.
Oh, it's not depressing for the sake of it. It's a tragedy basically, kind of like Macbeth in a way. Really, it's a tragedy, but it does have its up moments as well, because. Basically, the space starts out with this bloke who has to go clear out his aunt's apartment because she's dead, and it turns out it's Matsuko, and basically he just finds all these things, and it just plays out different parts of her life from the beginning to the end.
Has a repeat viewing affected your opinion?
Well, the repeat viewing made me appreciate it a fair bit more, but you have to be in the correct mood to really watch it, though. Because if you're a bit sad, you're going to be quite sad afterwards. But if you're in a mood for a film that tells a good story, then you can watch it.
So ideally, you want to be in a euphoric state, so then it'll just mellow you out a little bit. And you'll still be happy at the end.
I could just take it down a little notch.
Yeah. If you're a bit depressed, it's not the type of film you want to watch.
It'll be the movie that pushes you over the edge.
It could very well be, yeah. Kind of like a film version of Radiohead. But overall, I have to admit, it's actually a really, really good film, and it is definitely one of the third window films I would actually recommend. And like one I won't mention.
You did a stewism.
Yes.
And this director has been mentioned, or his movies, a bunch of times, at least one of his movies. I don't know anything about it, if it shares anything with Memories of Matsuko, but Kamikaze Girls is one that Adam has mentioned a lot. And looking at his English titles, if it's indeed a man directed this, the English titles seems to suggest a fantasy and fairy-like nature to the other movies as well. His latest is Paco and the Magical Book. And you have his very first movie was Happy-Go-Lucky, aka A Summer Tale, and stuff like that. So, I don't know, I'm just interpreting it from the titles, but...
Well, I've seen Kamikaze Girls, and that does have a fairy tale thing. And the main character in it, she just lives in this fairy tale world, despite the fact that everything around her is totally dark. She just basically spends her entire time daydreaming.
Right.
Basically, she just wishes she lived in 17th century France, where they just ate cake and had sex all the time. And she just dresses like it all the time.
Wow.
And she somehow becomes friends with this biker chick, and it's about how they bond despite their differences, and they become good friends. They learn from each other. Although she doesn't really learn anything, because she still lives a fairy tale by the end of it. And she thinks life is a fairy tale.
Does Adam have that film too? Or is just
That's another third window one. Mm-hmm. I think I've said pretty much everything. I'm trying to think. Let me give me a moment to go back.
makes those life as an editor easy.
No, I think I've pretty much done that Kamikaze Girls. It has been because really, they are basically filmed as fairy tales, although really they're deep down and not.
Interesting. Well,
I think that's basically the director's style, though. Version from the two obvious films I've seen.
Are they big movies or kind of small in scope? You know, there's no big elaborate, you know, epic fairy tale like shots. It's a small movie.
Yeah, you kind of get the feeling that really. It's not a high budget. It's not like major big budget, but it's just a. But I'd say budget wise, it's just standard.
Hmm.
They've not basically shown off saying, "Look what we can do."
Right.
Rightio then. Is that you done, Jim?
Yes, that'll be me done.
Excellent. And so next up, we shall have Stu.
Hello.
There is Stu.
First question, Stuart. Was this off the ban list?
No. Because there wasn't any movies watched.
Youth. What?
Well, I'm basically pulling a Mike Banner. I've just been watching trailers recently.
Wow.
Mainly because I've been working on my top 50 top Hong Kong movies of the decade. So, basically to re-jog my memory for a lot of them, I've been re-watching trailers to all these movies.
We're not impressed, you.
Ah, come on. I assumed it, kid.
You have to speak a little bit off the trailers, I guess, too, before we're impressed.
Mm-hmm. So I've basically just been rewatching trailers like Drunken Monkey, Initial D, Tokyo Raiders, Shell and Soccer, Alex 2, Hitman.
At least when I don't watch a film, I do some new trailers. So it's almost like a news item. You're going to review trailers for films that are about 10 years old?
I've not reviewed them, you silly bastard.
Yeah, like flipping effort when he doesn't watch a film.
Yeah.
I don't care, you son of bitches. Right, now listen.
See, he doesn't host, he's just given up now. No, I'm not hosting, oh, fuck it.
These were watched purely as research for my top 50 list.
It actually resulted in work, Mike, so give him credit.
What have you done? Has the top 10 gone online yet?
Nope, that won't be going on till New Year's Eve.
Why don't you give us a sneak peek then of like number 10 and 9? Give us something, Stu.
Oh, come on. Right. I deleted it all. 1 second. Right. Wait, now.
One thing I do know is that Stu didn't include a film that I counted.
Yeah,
it had to be in the top 10, according to me, but his criteria, he explained to me, were therefore he got excluded based on that criteria, and I buy that, but I'm sorely disappointed despite.
Oh yeah, what? I got some grief on MSN. That bitch gave me grief.
You're a tool.
So, okay. Number 10 is Kung Fu Hustle.
I quite like that film.
Yeah. It's
from the last decade, remember that, people?
Mm-hmm.
It's not all time.
And number 9, Election.
No, I haven't seen it, sir.
The 2005 film from director Johnny Toe, starring Tony Leung Kar-fai and Simon Yam.
And by the way, the movie that I'm annoyed that it isn't on the top 50, not even on the top 10. It should have been on the top 50 at least, but it's Jiang Hu, The Triad Zone. Which, if you listen to the Tony Leung Kar-fai Podcast on Fire special...
Oh, stop bringing up evidence that I like the film!
It is, you know, you would have thought that Stu would put it at number one based on the love that was flung about the room during that time, but no.
Wait, is that the flick that's coming out from Tartan, they're called now?
No, that's the
other one.
There's the good Jiang Hu and the bad one. But the thing is, the reason I excluded the good one is because when I originally watched it, I didn't like it. Thinking back to it, I appreciated it more. But the fact that I'd only watched it once and I had mixed opinions even then, I thought, there's other films I did like in that list, so unfortunately it lost its place to second time around.
Fair enough.
Nah, just kidding. Second time around wasn't in the list.
Which was surprising considering you watched second time around about 8 times.
I know that. See, that's how serious I'm taking this list.
Yeah.
there is a lot of Ee Kim Cheng films that are not in there, like Goodbye Mr. Cool, Running Out of Time 2.
What about Heavenly Mission?
Oh, Heavenly Mission was definitely not on that list.
There's probably a good reason why a lot of Ee Kim Cheng films aren't in that top 50.
I know, but did you see the top, 30 to 21? Hello, we've got It Had to Be You, Born to Be King, Divergence. Okay, three. There was more Donnie Yen in that list, but still. Yeah.
but by the way, I have to give Stu kudos, though. And I was a bit surprised that Dragon Tiger Gate was not number one. It was not even in the top 10 or top 20. It was in the top, in the 21 to the 30. Yeah. And considering Dragon Tiger Gate has been watched, 58 times.
Ken, don't throw kudos around willy-nilly, because you're just going to devalue the prize for winning the quiz later.
Oh, you suck still.
We're going to take that kudos back and let, you know, him earn it with some quiz questions.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
is that you done then, Stu?
It is. Mm. And remember on one of the last podcasts, we actually joked saying, don't worry, I'll have it finished before the end of the year. And it's like, yes, we'll have it. It's like, yeah, sure, you'll have it finished before then. It's like, fuck. I've still got 11 more movies to watch.
Yeah, you're talking about the ban list, yeah.
Yes.
Poor old ban list.
I know. I did mean Christmas 2010.
So does that mean that you still haven't been buying any DVDs then, Stu?
I've not bought a DVD, nope.
VCD?
VCD, not, I've no...
VHS?
Not any films.
Laserdisc?
Nope.
Fair enough then.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I actually bought a DVD that's that much. I do think it was April.
Very impressive. How much have you managed to mooch off DVD companies?
I did get one locked from the associates, but since then I don't think they've talked to me, so I think that's my lot. Yes.
We did a mistake.
But that's been it.
You did good on that review disc pile. I mean, most of those have gone up as reviews on the site, even if you didn't do all.
Yep, you still... Jim done one and you done one. Yeah. I done the rest.
Yeah. Jim did Samurai, what was it, Princess?
Samurai Princess.
And I did Oasis, the Korean movie. Mm-hmm.
So, thankfully, I was ill, so it gave me time to sit and watch all of them one after the other.
Has anyone else seen Oasis in this room?
Nope.
I have it, but I haven't seen it. I probably will never see it.
Right, if you are playing the game,
because I know what type of film
now.
It is, and I'm just not sure I can work myself up to be in the mood to actually watch it.
Yeah, you know the basic plot summary, yeah?
Yeah, I basically know about how it's about about two mentally disabled people who form a romantic relationship, and at the end you're challenged to ask, should people like that really be allowed to have relationships and stuff? Mm.
Well, it's not a preachy movie as such, but yeah, you're right. Exactly. It's this ex-con that is clearly... He's acting like a child, basically, and he falls in love with this girl who has cerebral palsy.
See, that almost gives me the impression of I'm a cyborg, but that's okay. Because the lead male in that film was, I think, somebody that was basically in the mental institute.
They were all in the mental institute in that film.
Yeah.
Was that a good reason.
Mm-hmm. Was that Rain, the male lead?
Yes.
Rain.
Mm-hmm. A.K.A. Ninja Assassin.
Yeah.
B.
Huh?
B. Is it Rain in Korean?
Oh. That.
B. It's like B. Wow, cool, a B. You're a B.
Rightio then. Now you've all been finished gassing. We can carry on with last movies watched.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I know. But it's my turn, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I forgot the host of the as well.
I'm used to the host not talking.
I'm used to not talking.
And now you're doing more blabbering now that you ain't the host.
Shh, come on, people's got to talk.
Getting loosened up with Budweiser. Right then, actually, I haven't watched any Asian films.
Yes.
Quite a while. I've been busy, but. Three reasons I'm going to review Avatar. One, I ain't watched any Asian films. Two, I'm the host and Lord Quizmaster. Three, it's Christmas, so I don't care. I saw Avatar about 3 hours ago. finish watching it at the cinema. I don't know, it's not Asian, but I don't care.
And it, sure, there's an Asian person in it.
Probably.
Somewhere.
Even an extra.
In the crew.
You could link a trailer by that.
Have a look through IMDb if anyone at home is bored. You know.
There's a Wong there. Yay!
So, yeah, see if you can find a Wong or a Chan or something. It's a pretty good film. The 3D was good, except we got there like 10 minutes afterwards, after the start time, which is still like technically 10 minutes before the film starts because there's about 20 minutes of adverts. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean trailers, but actual adverts before they put the trailers on.
Yeah,
can you still get your tickets when you arrive that late? Or is no?
I'd already booked them. Bought them hours ago.
Ah, okay.
Hey, Mike, did you get them on a 2-for-1 deal?
I did, Orange Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what I do on Wednesday as well.
Smart man.
Yeah. Half-price 3D films. Yeah, so got in, and a bit late, so I had to sit the front row. So I had to tilt head at a crazy angle. But the 3D was good. The CGI and everything, the effects were amazing. Best I've ever seen in any film. I think Cameron kind of did that when he'd made Terminator 2. Those were pretty much the best CG visual effects around. And obviously those look a bit old now, but done it again with this film. It looks really bright, and the 3D works really well going around the jungle and all the different scenes. It kind of really draws you into it. For the first, like, 10-20 minutes, I could notice the 3D. But after I just got into the story, I forgot that it was 3D until something kind of like made me go, wow, a little bit. The film as a whole, though, is only good for about 2 hours.
Say only because four.
About 2 hours and 45 minutes. So the first 2 hours, it's a good film, but it's nothing amazing. I mean, it looks really nice and everything. The lead character's a little bit dry, a bit bland. But then it all builds up to a last 45 minutes involving a big battle action scene, which is just amazing. Absolutely amazing. James Cameron showing that he's probably the best action director in the world, I think. Certainly at the moment, that I've seen recently anyway. I mean, it's just a seriously good, brilliantly paced battle scene for about 40 minutes. It lasts for. It reminds me a little bit of Return of the Jedi, except you haven't got any crappy Ewoks. And it's a lot better. So overall, I'd say the first 2 hours are kind of a 3-star film, and then the last 45 minutes is a 5-star film. So I'm going to level it out at a 4-star.
It's the 3D, it's not used in that obvious way like it was like in the 80s. If you watch this Friday the 13th movie, the third one, they shoot like a harpoon, you know, at the camera. It's not like...
the rake going into somebody's stomach.
Yeah.
And it spins around with a rake handle sticking out in front of the camera for ages. Yeah. No, they don't do any of that kind of hand towards you.
Just for 3 fucking hours to have that, I just feel nauseous thinking of it if it would have been that way. But I think they're more clever than that.
Yeah, well, I think Cameron uses it to try and... There's a few point of view shots, a little bit of shaky camera work, where obviously stuff being in 3D kind of feels busier, more bustling, and kind of puts you in the scene. And then there's lots of good... obviously, with the 3D, the best thing about it is you can use perspective. So lots of nice top-down kind of shots or slight angle from above. Yeah. Where you can see kind of like down past a cliff face, down to the water below and things like that, which really helps to give a sense of scale and size and everything to the world that it's in. Makes it feel a little bit more real, which is important for what the story's about. The actual story and the fact that it's 3D linked together. So yeah, it's a really clever use of the 3D and not horror film gimmicky 3D.
Yeah. I mean, that gimmicky 3D, I think, still appears in horror movies. As a matter of fact, you had like My Bloody Valentine 3D. I'm willing to bet that it used that gimmicky, like, hand at you or things being launched right at you kind of a thing.
Yeah,
I know that's part of the experience. You have to include that to lure in audiences. You can't make a basic slasher movie and have like subtle 3D.
Yeah.
Because it's not a big scope movie, you know, with big landscapes and, you know, depth like that. I mean, even the advertising art for My Bloody Valentine literally had, you know, like a big pickaxe being, being in the middle of the audience, pushed through the cinema screen in the middle of the audience. But yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that the 3D in this film is going to raise the bar or the expectations of audiences of how 3D should be used. So it's not just gimmicky crap. So that, you know, when you get to 3D films in the future, the use of the 3D and the quality will be a lot higher. Because you could do some really cool, fun stuff in 3D with a horror film. It's just begging. It's like, you know, very obviously a lot of time, very visceral kind of stuff, especially like a slasher film or something like that. So having like being immersed in it would just add to the tension, and having all kinds of like gross stuff happening in 3D would be awesome.
Yeah.
In fact, Saw 7, I'm a big fan of the Saw franchise, Saw 7 is going to be in 3D. I'm looking forward to that.
Why didn't they do the third one in 3D is my question. I think they forgot, you know, because they had a franchise already at that point.
Yeah. Well, they're doing...
you do 3D during the third part, at the third time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I caught a trailer for Toy Story 3, which is in 3D, mm-hmm. and Shrek 4, which is in 3D.
They missed that one as well.
Step Up 3D.
4D.
Step Up.
Yep, the dance movie.
The dance thing.
Yep, the third one is just called 3D.
Sounds
crap. And the next John Grisham book being brought to the screen is also 3D. Any movie. A court drama in 3D.
Man, I really wish they would re-release Young and Dangerous 3 in 3D.
Or remake it.
No. Well, you know, they're going back to Titanic and what other film was it? I can't remember now. And 3D eyesing them.
Oh, God.
For the cinema. And Toy Story 1 and 2 have both been released.
They've been in gone.
Small runs with in 3D.
Well, they're good.
So you never know, Stu. Young and Dangerous, maybe. One day.
When Manfred Wong and Andrew Lau has a bright idea. You know, one day.
See, we managed to pull it back around to Asian film eventually.
Yeah.
Right then, so that's last movies watched. Done. Break!
So, hey, this is John Crane. Just wishing all the listeners on Podcast on Fire a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and all the holidays. And also, Ken, I'm sending Bobby Clark over your way so he can give you a special Christmas wedgie. And Stu, when I get over there, fire up the haggis and the blood pudding. We're eating. I don't know, man. You guys said that as Chinese eat some crazy shit? Yeah, I don't know.
Right then, we're back from the break, and on that theme, breaking news, this just in from Ken.
Treasure Hunter wins Battle of the Box Office. Now, if you don't remember, the Treasure Hunter is the latest Ye Chao movie. Yeah. And it opened against the Storm Warriors across Chinese cinemas. Against Storm Warriors. Mm. And what was the title of the news item? Treasure Hunter wins Battle of the Box Office. This news item is from the December 15th from Forest Films, and it opened across Chinese cinemas the week before that and made an impressive 7.83 million RMB in just half a day. Its closest rival came in the form of the highly anticipated The Storm Warriors. Ooh. Which only made 5 million RMB during the same period of time. And by the way, I would never think in a million years that a movie directed by Chu Yanping, yeah, he made Kung Fu Dunk, but the movies that matter are Island of Fire, Pink Force Commando, Golden Queen's Commando, Flying Dagger, End of the Road, Home Too Far. Those are the movies that matter, and I would never think that his movie would be a box office smash and beat out Aaron Kwok and Ekin Cheng, but there you go, it happened. In mainland China, but it still matters.
That's more down to the power of the chair, right?
I think it's more down to the power of the they like these period movies, even though this is a mix, as you described it. It's a time travel movie, but period movies play extremely well in China. And I guess Jay Chow has enough of a fan base in mainland China as well. And I looked at the posters that were out, and yeah, it's only one expression Ye Chao utilizes on the posters, and I guess it's true for the movie as well. It's moody Ye Chao, but that's the only thing he knows. Seriously, he can't do anything else. And if he smiles, it's either that he has bad teeth or something, you know? don't smile, don't smile! Never smile! And he can't afford, like, getting his teeth fixed, which is illogical theory as well.
That's how you retain cool, though, Ken. You look like you don't give a shit, or you're a little bit pissed off by stuff.
A little bit dumb.
If you're all happy and smiley and stuff and emoting, then that's not as cool.
I think it's due to a lack of talent.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. So yeah, the Treasure Hunter, and who knows? It might be. I mean, I'm not saying Chu Yanping's movies are nowadays bad or anything. They were only good back then. Kung Fu Dunk, I know, didn't get a ton of good reviews, but then again, I haven't seen it, and they might provide decent energy, because Chu Yanping knew energy, goofy energy. Island of Fire is not an example of that necessarily, but Flying Dagger definitely, and Golden Queen's Commando from the 80s, Fantasy Mission Force, which is both loved and hated. Hated due to people think it's the worst Jackie Chan movie ever, but it's not really a Jackie Chan movie. It's very much a wacky Taiwan.
It's very much a sucky film, a sucky movie.
It feels like a movie right up my alley, to be honest. Wacky Taiwan comedy, and Chu Yanping at the head of that. That's enough reasons for me to go watch it. So yeah, in Hong Kong though, who knows? These movies might not make anything, because Hong Kong is a lot more tougher of a market to make money in terms of getting period movies out there. But I haven't seen any numbers for Storm Warriors and Treasure Hunter in Hong Kong. That is due to the fact that I'm not really interested in looking up box office. This news item happened to appear on Fire's Films and caught my eye, and hey!
I'm so glad to hear that, Ken, because this is, you wouldn't believe the awesomeness of this kind of linkage. But the first section is 2009 box office in Asia for our quiz.
Wow.
Boom. Oh. So here we go then, boys. It's the time everyone's been waiting for.
Buster's ready.
It's time for Jim, Ken, and Stu to lock wits. Like, you know, three angry stags at the foot of a mountain.
That sounded gay.
Well, you know,
but I have no problem with that.
Read into what you... read into what you feel, Ken.
Shall we introduce our buzzers now?
All right. Keen?
Man, first timers.
I am Lord Quizmaster, and you are a quiz slave, so be quiet, slave.
I'm fucking looking down on you, son.
Right, so, today we've got a quiz going. A good old-fashioned English pub quiz. Yeah.
And we got the booze as well to go along with that. So
we've got questions. We've got booze.
Yeah,
it's a pub quiz. Well, I mean, the main advantage is that we don't have toilets that smell of puke. I hope, anyway. Okay, then. So we've got three contestants, 30 questions, 6 categories, 5 in each category. If need be, we hit a tiebreaker. I shall ask the question. Everybody can buzz in with their individual buzzers and give their answer. If after a certain amount of time, a time of my choosing, nobody's got the answer, I'll say what the answer is, and we go on to the next question. Everybody got that?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So, buzzer sounds. Ken? Stu? And Jim? Damn, you have to be faster than that, Jim. All right, then, and officially for everyone out there, no cheating, no looking on Wikipedia or any websites or anything like that, or trying to, you know, call more intelligent mates you've got somewhere.
All right. Damn.
And if, you know, for the listeners out there, you can play along as well and see how well you do. Compare your intellect for Asian movies with the three guys on our show.
I just got a vision, by the way, of that classic Monty Python skit where they have like Che Guevara and Lenin and Karl Marx all gathered up, and all they ask them are football questions. Who won the FA Cup in 1948? So it would be very, you know, would be fun if you like gathered up questions totally unrelated to.
It's crazy sports. That you're preempting me like this, Ken, all the time. But one of our questions are on the 1986 World Cup run of England.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Right then, first category, boys, is 2009 box office at the Asian cinema. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Everyone else apart from Stu ready?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. No, whoa, no, sorry.
These boys are sharp. This should be fun.
I've got snot in my head. I'm sorry.
And then question one. Only two Chinese actors have appeared in two of the top 20 movies at the Hong Kong box office this year. Can you name one of them? Ken.
Zhang Ziyi. I'm taking
incorrect.
A shot. Do I get a minus one then?
No. Yep. Only two Chinese actors have appeared in two of the top 20 movies at the Hong Kong box office this year. Can you name one of them? Stu.
Was it Liu Yi?
Incorrect. Jim, do you want to have a try before I... Oh, here we go. Jim?
Was it Jay Chow?
Incorrect. Right, well, the answer you could have had either Louis Koo or Daniel Wu. But you didn't. Second question. At number 9 in the South Korean box office for the year was the surprise hit documentary Old Partner. It's a story about a farmer and which animal? Stu.
Pig.
Incorrect.
Ah, fuck.
Jim.
Cow.
Yay!
Ah!
Point to Jim. All right, question number 3. Which Asian country had the most homegrown films in its top 10? Ken.
Japan.
Correct.
Hey.
First point for Ken.
Excellent.
Question number 4. That was 7 films in Japan's top 10 were Japanese. No, question number 4. One movie appears in the top 10 list for the year of South Korea, Japan, China, and Hong Kong. Which film is it? Stu.
Japan.
Which film is it?
Oh, which film? Ah, I thought you were country.
It's the movie Japan.
Yes.
That's a great movie.
One movie. One.
Pass.
One movie appears in the top 10.
I wasn't prepared for the movie, I was prepared for the countries.
For the year of South Korea, Japan, China and Hong Kong, which film is it?
I don't know.
I'll give you a lot of clue, it's a Chinese film. Jim.
Is it Storm Warriors?
It is not.
Bugger.
Have a quick guess, Ken, before I move on.
I'm working on guesses even, I can't.
It's a Chinese film, like I said.
Fuck.
What came out this year that was big? 3, 2, 1, out of time. It is Red Cliff Part 2.
Ah.
Now, which film, this is the last question in the round, which film made the most money worldwide? Which Asian film made the most money worldwide in 2009? Jim.
Was it Forbidden Kingdom?
Incorrect. Well, that'd be an American production, I would have thought. Or at least a co-production.
Oh, doesn't. Oh, well. Wrong either way, so don't worry.
Stu!
I'm going to go for Red Cliff, because it's the only thing I can remember actually being released internationally this year.
Incorrect. Anybody else want to have a go? I'll give you another... Oh, here we go, Ken.
Ip Man.
No. I'll give you a clue. It's Japanese. Think of a Japanese film that would do well worldwide. Or at least did humongously well in Japan. No. The answer is Ponyo on the cliff by the sea.
Stu.
Fuck. Which,
you call made, yourself a scholar on Ghibli.
Which, in worldwide box office, finished in 25th place, raking in $200 million.
Damn, damn, damn.
Bearing in mind, though, $153 million of that was in Japan alone. It was a monster hit. So that's the end of the first round. And so far, we have Ken on 1 point.
Yay.
Jim on 1 point. And Stu on no points.
Boo.
Yay.
So now we move on to our second category, which is quotes from films. I was going to say quotes from awesome films. Yeah, quotes from awesome films.
In Chinese.
So now, this could come from English dubbing or English subtitles. To be fair, if there's different versions, there might be slightly different spellings, but I think the gist is going to be the same. So, first up, Fatty, your face is so fat that you've gone and damaged my instep.
Oh, fuck, I've seen this one as well.
Fatty, your face is so fat you've gone and damaged my instep. Ken.
My Lucky Stars?
No. You're working on the right area, though, with the old Samo.
Figured it.
Oh, I think that was Jim.
Paddy Ho's Hero?
No.
The one line you should have got from Paddy Ho's Hero is, let's gay. You know.
Stuart?
Pedicab Driver.
Correct!
Holy wow. Shit!
It is Pedicab Driver. And it's a... Lau Gar Lung, a.k.a. Pops, who says that to him after he boots him in the chops. Oh, then, second quote. Why doesn't somebody pull out a 45 and bang, settle it?
What the... Who's that?
Is that Stu?
Yes. Stu. Hard-boiled?
Incorrect. Why doesn't somebody pull out a 45 and bang, settle it? I can't believe nobody knows this. Oh. It's from one of the most famous films of all time.
Well.
Ken.
The killer.
Incorrect. Right, yo, then. Jim, do you want to have a crack?
Can't think. Once Upon a Time in China?
Incorrect. It is from Enter the Dragon.
I haven't seen that in ages, so no wonder.
Crazy sons of bitches. Number three, I always leave one bullet, either for myself or for my enemy. Ken.
The killer?
Correct.
Ha ha! I knew that.
Well, then, number four. Shen Kuan Yun, don't you believe that your Eagle Claw can beat everyone? It's not quite that invincible. Stu.
Snake and Eagle Shadow.
Correct.
Wow.
Oh, nice one.
First point.
Superb. And then last question, number five in the round. If they had told me it was going to be 15 years, would it have been easier to endure? Jim.
Old boy.
Correct.
Oh. Wow. I figured that out as soon as you said 15 years.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping.
That's a good
right
trip.
Then. I think we can all agree that that's pretty much five awesome films as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So after two rounds, 10 questions, we have Ken on 2, Jim on 2, and Stu on 2.
Really? Yeah.
Don't doubt me.
Hi. Damn it, I almost had it. I almost had him.
All right then. Round number 3 is called Naughty Hong Kong. Oh, that was the sound of Sleazy K. Unfortunately, you're going to be a little bit disappointed, Ken. Because we're not going for Category 3.
Great by an Angel!
This is about Hong Kong movie stars who have been naughty in the past.
Uh-oh. Is there more than one?
Oh, yeah. Question 1. Which Hong Kong movie star spent 22 months in jail for robbery before his showbiz career started? Ken.
Michael Chan.
Incorrect.
Ah, damn it.
He's hot right now. There's a clue for you. Very popular. Oh, I'm going to make this even easier for you. Listen to this one. He's already been an answer in the quiz so far.
I just need help.
Can't remember shit about that.
Jim.
Bruce Coo.
You're correct.
Damn.
Have well, that.
That's good. Well done.
I guess because he's already been mentioned.
Yeah. Excellent. Right then, number two. Name the actor who was arrested for an air rage incident in the year 2000 in which he, quote, puffed cavalierly on cigarettes, screamed obscenities into the recycled air, and began to strike and grab his fellow passengers and crew members, including a flight attendant who held in a half Nelson, before, quote, the pilot bonked him on the head with a flashlight. A lengthy question, but we're looking for air rage incident in 2000. It's been in. Well, here we go. Stu!
Tony Leung, clarify?
No.
I knew what you were thinking of, those two.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
Ron's known for being a.
Wait.
Quite funny. I can't get much more cluerific than that.
What the fuck? Damn it. That was Jim, yeah.
Stephen Chow?
No.
That would have been brilliant.
The first funny bloke I've thought of.
Go on, Ken.
Yeah, that was my guess too. That's the only funny person I can think of.
See, that could have been half an awesome clue and half a bad clue at the same time. Anybody else want to have another go?
Was it Eric Sang?
That's a first.
So the people who are listening to this at home, somebody's going to be listening to this going,
slapping their head.
A bunch of retards.
Because I've even said part of his first name already.
Oh, wait.
Was there a honky horn before that, though?
I didn't buzz, no.
Okay, then. Stu.
Ronald Cheng.
Yay! Got to keep a handle on this. Yeah, it was Ronald Cheng who got drunk on a flight to Taiwan and got so rowdy that they were forced to land in Alaska before he got knocked out.
Where
the bonk on the head from the flashlight knocked him out. Hey, pardon? What was that?
Where was he flying from?
Flying from? I don't know.
I'm sorry, because Taiwan and Taiwan are just quite near each other. I just kind of seen him going out the way to land.
I'd Google it after the show.
Question number
three. Which election star was arrested in 2002 for crashing his car? Ken?
Tony Leung, car fight.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which election
I
star
knew that still, and you did as well.
You took my answer.
Yeah, I did.
For 2002 for crashing his car into a bus while drunk, it was Tony Leung, car fight.
Suck
question number four. Which Throwdown star was arrested in 2005 for crashing his car into a bus while drunk? Stu.
Same guy, Tony Leung, car fight.
It is.
Yeah, he did it twice. I didn't remember that.
Except I believe in that one, he actually got out of his car and beat up the bus driver he crashed into afterwards.
Next question. Who beat up a bus driver? Look, am I?
He can only get buses nowadays and he's not allowed to drive.
Oh, my God.
All right, then. Final question in Naughty HK is which pop star / mutested after he attempted to make his chauffeur take the blame for crashing his Ferrari? Ken?
Nicolas Tse?
Correct.
I know my car crashing stars.
Nick was also drunk at the time.
He's now a father, so hopefully he's let go of his old ways.
Well, yeah, that was in 2001, so that was a good while ago.
Yeah,
he's a very young man then. So. Right then, this is category number four, and I got to say this is quite a tough one, I believe. Oh, actually, I didn't do the scores. After the three rounds, we have Jim on 3 points, Ken on 4 points, and Stu on 4 points.
Tight race.
Yeah, that's going. It's going well. I'm quite surprised. Right then, this round is remakes.
Uh oh.
So I'm going to give you the title of a US remake, and I want you to give me its original title it had, English title, when it was first released. Did everybody get that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay then. So first up is 8 Below. It was a US film starring Paul Walker, who was from the Fast and Furious films, directed by Frank Marshall, I think. His name. 8 Below, it's about ice and huskies and shit.
This remake.
Jim.
Was it a remake of Arctic Diary?
No.
No.
I can give you a clue, it's a Japanese film.
If it's not a horror film, it's really hard. Well, maybe it was. Maybe it was a horror film. I don't know. Sounds like a remake of The Thing.
I'm going to assume you don't know. That film was Antarctica.
Yep,
never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
All right, the next one is The Uninvited. 2009. Ken.
Tale of Two Sisters.
Correct.
Yeah. But by the way, isn't it another actual Korean movie called The Uninvited?
Yeah.
There is, yep. That was a slight kind of... I thought there might be a bit of trickiness to that question.
No bonus points, Ken. No
bonus. I'm not looking for bonus points. I'm looking for logic, but apparently...
Sit down.
He was looking for bonus points. Put your hand down, Ken. Right then. Number 3. Last Man Standing. Ken.
Yojimbo?
Correct.
I rule.
I mean, there's other films such as Fistful of Dollars, which can be claimed to be kind of remakes, but yeah. Last Man Standing was officially labelled as a remake.
Bruce Willis film, yeah?
Bruce Willis film from the mid-90s, I think. I actually quite like it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, Walter Hill, I think, director. That was not me looking for bonus points, by the way.
Yeah, he's added against you.
3 points!
And then number 4, Tortilla Soup. It's a US film starring mainly, mainly Latino cast. It's a title, Mexican cast. It's originally a famous Taiwanese film. Which narrows it a bit because there's not many famous Taiwanese films. Ken.
Eat, Drink, Man, Woman.
Correct.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Well done, Kenneth. And then number 5, The Lake House. Stu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was there first.
Okay, sorry.
It is a remake of the Korean film I can't remember.
I'm going to give you one chance to come up with the title, Stu, before I pass it over to Ken.
Ah, fucking put Margaret in the title. I put Margaret the fucking DVD.
Fuck!
Letters. Nah.
That's not the name of it, Stu. No. Ken?
I think Jim was before, to be really honest. So.
No, I don't have a clue on this one.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
If it's the same fucking title.
Il Mare or Il Maro, whatever, however the hell you pronounce it.
I'd call it Il Mare, but Il Mare will do. That's Ken's point.
Motherfuckers. You're all out against me.
That's what you get.
After I gave you. How much time did I give you to get it right? You only got it right after Ken
get
said
out
it.
Of the quiz.
Right, after 4 rounds, Ken has taken a romping lead. We've still got Jim in third place with 3, Stu in second with 4 points, but Ken is now on 8.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sick.
8 points for Ken.
You
unbelievable. Now this is your time to get it back though, Stu, because this next round is
Young and Dangerous.
Oh dear lord. I shouldn't have been drinking. I won't know this at all. I'm fucked.
So these are all questions about Ek and Cheng.
Oh no.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Question number 1. Ek and Cheng has a finely sculpted body which Stu has admired on many occasions. Name one of Ekin's favourite sporting activities. Gym.
Basketball.
No.
Oh.
Not according to my list. Hang on a second. Stu?
Swimming.
Correct.
Wow.
You could have also had diving, rock climbing, and badminton.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I'll give you an extra point if you can tell me why badminton would be more special than the others.
I don't know.
And you call yourself Ekincheng Historian.
You people assume.
Right, you don't get the extra point. It's where he met his current lady friend. His current special lady friend while playing badminton.
And she is Stu?
Fuck. That again.
She is Stu.
Brilliant. Right then, question number two. Ekincheng likes to shill. Name the camera manufacturer he has repeatedly sucked the winky of. Ken.
Canon.
Correct.
Here we go.
I think there are three sets of ad campaigns over the last decade or so for Canon cameras. Number three, Ekincheng's last film award was in 2008 at the Busan. Ken?
Well, he won the Best Actor award, shared the Best Actor award with Sean Yu for Rule Number One. If that was the answer. No.
So you gave so much information, you might as well have answered like any question I could have come up with there. Ekincheng's last film was award was in 2008. The Busan International Fantastic Film Festival. He won the Best Actor award, back to share with another actor who
Sean
Ken's
Yu.
Already said it's Sean Yu.
No, I was going to try and steal it.
You couldn't.
Right then, question number four. Ekincheng is dead clever in everything, and wrote a book. What's the title?
Wow.
Ooh, Jim.
My Life is Stu.
Which in Chinese
I'm going to give you a point for that, Jim.
Hey,
anybody else want to give the actual answer?
Nah, I knew you'd done a book, but I could never remember the title.
Okay then, the answer is Looking into Ekin's Eyes.
Ooh.
So he's looking in the mirror.
Yeah, possibly.
That would be Donnie's like autobiography, but looking into Donnie's eyes. Yeah, exactly.
It wouldn't be words; it'd just be pictures.
I did it my way.
All right then, number five. Who is better, Ekincheng or Aaron Kwok? Was that Stu? Stu.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, answer the question.
Is this a trick question?
Answer question. Who's better, Eric Cheng or Aaron Kwok?
You called him Eric Cheng then.
Ekincheng or Aaron Kwok.
To me, I say Ekincheng.
Correct. I would have also accepted Aaron Kwok. So after five rounds...
That might have been based on like scientific research, you know. But it wasn't.
Yeah. It's 50-50 anyway.
Yeah.
After five rounds, with only one round remaining, we have Jim on 4 points, Stu on 6, and Ken on 10.
Ooh.
So it's going to have to be a pretty phenomenal last round from someone. But once again, giving you a chance, giving you guys a chance, especially Stu, because this round is on Donnie Yen. All right, then, question one. Donnie Yen can't act. In what film did Donnie Yen make his first appearance? Stu?
Now, is this as an on-screen actor?
Donnie Yen can't act. In what film did Donnie Yen make his first appearance?
Now, Stu. He was in Miracle Fighters as a stuntman.
You can't press the button and then have a conversation about it, Stu. Give me the answer.
Well, he started off his career as a stuntman.
Jim!
Just give me the answer.
I'm going for Miracle Fighters.
Incorrect.
See? If you clear the fucking dirty questions.
Jim!
No, Jim.
Is it Drunken Tai Chi?
Oh, boy.
No.
What?
God damn it.
You haven't got... Well, there's three titles. I've even given you a chance by putting AKAs here, so somebody's got to give me the full title.
What the fuck?
That's written down on my answer sheet.
Man, I really thought it was Drunken Tai Chi or The Miracle Fighters.
That was tricky, Lord Quizmaster.
Oh, you fucking suck up.
Good respect. I like the respect there, slave.
Tricky. tricky is not a compliment, so.
Fuck it.
All right, then, if you can't get it, the answer I have is Miracle Fighters 2.
What the?
A.K.A. Shaolin Drunkard, A.K.A. Wu-Tang Master.
Yeah, I heard of Shaolin Drunkard. What was his official... Was it Stuntman?
He's Stuntman, yeah. He doubled for Simon Yun.
That was tricky. And I don't like it.
I didn't know it was a sequel.
Well, you know, the retitling business around the world is what it is. Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Question number two. Donnie Yen turned down a starring role in which classic Jet Li movie? Jim?
Once Upon a Time in China?
No.
Bullets.
Ken?
Fong Sayuk?
Incorrect. Stu?
Tai Chi Master?
Correct.
Ah. Holy shit.
Well done.
He would have had the role of Chin Su Ho.
Ah. Not the Jet Li role, then. But that was tricky as well.
Yeah, thank you. He also turned...
That was not a compliment.
Oh, rebellion.
He also turned down a role in Drunken Master 2 with Jackie Chan.
Andy Lau's role.
Yeah, Ken Ho. Number three. There have been many debates over the years about who is the greatest Kung Fu star... Who would win in a fight between Jackie Chan, Jet Li, Donnie Yen, or Bruce Lee? But which one of them is the tallest? Jim?
Is it Donnie? As in Yen?
Mike?
No. What? Incorrect, 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 incorrect.
What the fuck?
Ken?
Donnie.
That was it wasn't Jim's that the answer that Jim just said?
Ah, sorry, fuck. Ah, no, sorry.
Stu.
I'm not gonna answer.
Who's the other ones?
I've forgotten already.
Right, it's not Bruce Lee.
Oh, here Jackie. He goes, having a conversation again.
Was Jackie Chan one of them?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go for Jackie.
Jackie Chan.
God damn.
So now, there's a lot of... I seem to find a lot of fluctuation in the recorded heights of most of these people. But safe to assume that most of them lied by about a good inch and a half. Although Jackie's been listed before at 5'10". Well, I can find out. 5'8 and a half. Although some people seem to think that after the year, so many injuries, that he's actually shrunk. Bruce Lee would have only been about 5'7". Jet Li's about 5'6 and a half. And apparently Donnie Yen's only about 5'6".
Wow. Although he takes so many photographs of himself.
Yeah, claims to be taller.
So you wear high heels, that's it.
You never know. Question number four. Donnie's sister is smoking hot. Which twins movie did Donnie and his sister... Ken?
Protégé de la Rose Noir.
Correct.
Thank you.
And his sister's name is Christian. All right, this is the very last question. All to play for, apart from the fact that Ken's won. So, Donnie Yen's wife is smoking hot. Which video game did Donnie Yen work on as an action director? I think that was Jim.
Tekken?
Incorrect. Stu?
Onimusha 3.
Correct.
Ooh. You know that?
That was a good game.
Oh, cool.
He did some of the CG cutscenes and stuff. It also featured Jean Reno.
And Takeshi Kaneshiro.
Yeah. He's
a little. Never got very far in it, but I have it.
So, that is all 30 questions completed. All 6 rounds done. And after that time, I can confirm, in last place with 4 points, is Jim.
Really?
Oh.
In second place with 9 points is Stu. And coming out on top, the Puff Big Brain for 2009 is Kenneth Brawson.
Yay! 7
points.
With 11.
11.
Well, it seemed quite tight, after all. Well, well played, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you lose.
See, man, if I had actually thought of it, when Ken was getting a win advantage, I could have just muted him. Since I was hosting this conversation, or at least kick him out of the conversation.
Yeah, you could have, and that would have made you look very...
Jim, what are you doing? Mike,
kicking Kenneth like that. Jim, what are you doing?
I said, Mike, are you trying to make me win?
Can't pass down me, I'm on the phone. I mean, actually,
Jim, don't kick Ken.
All right, well, I actually had a tiebreaker in the event that it was going to be, like, even at the end.
What was the tiebreaker, out of curiosity?
For fun, we could do the tiebreak question.
I'm up for that.
You in, Ken?
Yeah, it's a contest.
Nice. Okay, then. In total, how many pics did Celebrity Muff Photographer have released onto the internet? Ken?
224.
Ken has gone for 224. Jim?
20.
20. Stu?
50.
50. So I can confirm that Ken went for 224. It's a high number. Jim went for 20, which is a pretty low number. And Stu went for 50. Stu's rocking the middle ground there. The answer is 465.
Holy shit.
I knew it was high, but wow.
And if for any you know people out there are interested, if you look up Edison Chen's sex scandal on Wikipedia, it will give you a breakdown of which actresses appeared in which photos. I think top of the table was Bobo Chan with about 130 or 140 photos of her.
Shit.
And then next was Cecilia Jung.
Bloody hell.
So Kenny, even Ken got that one right. So a special super bonus point for Ken.
Yeah, I knew that question.
So Ken, you...
I just made it seem sleazy.
No.
I knew it.
No, to be honest. That's
the fact that Ken was out by the 180 makes him sound not quite so sleazy.
To be honest, that's a bit it's a bit too uncomfortable that whole business, so you know.
Kenny had a bit probably like 10 no 5 victims, so I expect he probably had at least 10 photos of each.
Yeah, it was a good way of thinking, but yeah,
so rather serious discussion of a pretty stupid question.
Yeah, so when I take sex photos, I usually go like for a nice round number.
Really, when I do it, I usually just take a few, delete most of them because they turn out crap, and just keep the select few.
Jim,
and I'm about economy.
You keep it on a separate USB memory instead of putting it on.
Like I keep
on
mine
your
on CDs,
laptop.
Just in case USB things get nicked. CDs don't.
Right then, on that festive note. I think that wraps up the quiz and the show for the year. Has anybody got any end-of-year thoughts? End-of-poff-year thoughts or end-of-year thoughts or anything they want to share with the world?
I have some advice.
Go on then, Jim.
For any muff photographers out there, if you don't want people to nick your work, put your pictures on a CD and label it Chaz and Dave, and I guarantee nobody will nick it. Although your parents might try to listen to it one day and... And you might have some weird explaining to do. But that's my whiz pearl of wisdom for the puff listeners.
Yeah.
Puff mismas. anybody else got anything to add? That's a no then.
Yeah.
Hit the music, Stu.
You've still got another minute of talking to do.
Are you fading it up?
Aye, it's a good 1 minute of music.
Oh man, I was hitting my hitting my mark then, ready for the music to come flying in.
We can get all mellow during the last minute. So,
Merry Christmas to everyone out there.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Have a good one.
Ken's opening his presents tomorrow.
Yeah, He's Swedish. He's weird.
I hear they do things backwards there.
Yeah, we do.
Right, time to say goodbye.
Bye.
Many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
you.